This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another jam-packed episode of The New World Next Week, our weekly video series where we break down the news that really matters for you. And of course, we'll remind you to go check out NewWorldNextWeek.com, where you can get high-quality downloads, you can subscribe, and it's the way for us to help just build out the redundancy and get this to as many folks as possible. So now, having said that, James, let's dive right into our first story, which comes from Paul Joseph Watson that I have posted on MediaMonarchy.com, asking the question, will Americans follow French example of mass civil unrest? How will Americans react when the government begins to impose the same austerity measures that are causing riots, street battles, fuel blockades, and other assorted chaos in France? Will we witness mass civil unrest, or will the sleeping middle classes continue to scratch their butts and watch Dancing with the Stars? Back in June, we forecast that the imminent onset of so-called austerity measures, which in reality represent nothing more than an elevated phase of government-run looting of the taxpayer, would herald an age of rage, leading to, quote, riots and even revolutions as people react with fury in response to their jobs, savings, basic public services, pension, and welfare money being seized by the financial terrorist who caused the economic collapse in the first place. 4 months later, and citizens of one of the most prosperous countries in the world with the highest standard of living have shut down France after six-plus days of strikes and protests in response to government plans to raise the retirement age from 60 to 62 and the full state pension age from 65 to 67. Undoubtedly, there are two different protests going on in France. The more violent scenes are the work of rent-a-mob anarchist youths who couldn't care less about pensions but will waste no opportunity to don black hoods and pointlessly smash up shop windows in its demonstrations against capitalism, when in reality government seizure of pensions has all the hallmarks of command and control socialism and absolutely nothing to do with true free market capitalism, if that has ever really existed. These youths are more concerned about their welfare checks being cut, but they won't garner the sympathy of the rest of the French people by taking baseball bats to Starbucks in mocked-up media stunts. The legitimate protests and the ones that genuinely hurt the establishment and put the idiot anarchists to shame are being run by French workers, truck drivers, and union leaders, and those enjoy the support of around 70% of the population. James?
Well, absolutely. If this is what the French look like when the retirement age is being raised by 2 years, I mean, I'd hate to see what happens when the doo-doo really hits the oscillator. But it's perhaps no surprise to see labor unrest in France. It's not exactly an unusual occurrence, but it is heartening to see a concerted, coordinated, targeted campaign of strikes that really are affecting the system and is not making it easy for the French government to do this. And it's important for people to understand why this is important. And it's important because the governments are asking the people to start taking all these austerity measures and start tightening their belt for debts that the governments have created without the consent of the populations, without the people coming and asking for this. And it's completely, 100%, totally needless, because of course governments can create their own money. They don't have to go to banks to ask for bankers to give them money. And that's the system that we're living in, and it's a system that's enslaving all of us, so people have to start rising up and fighting against it. So it's good to see this is finally happening in France.
I guess I want to make a couple of notes about this. First is that we're not necessarily trying to say that anyone who is an anarchist, is a, you know, paid provocateur, but these elements are real. And again, we would tell folks to go out and do the research on provocateurs causing violence, and that's of course what gets the coverage. The other thing I guess I've speculated about for a while is that I wonder that we've never seen anything like this in the States, really, just due to geography, and that we're such a massive country that here, being in Oregon, how on earth am I going to get to, you know, Washington, D.C.? The interesting thing is that, of course, we don't have these kinds of protests unless, of course, corporate media shills tell their people to go do it, as we saw Beck do a few weeks ago and as we're going to see Stewart and Colbert do here in just another couple of weeks.
Yes, unfortunately, that's right, and I think certainly geography has something to do with it. It's much harder to bring a nation's infrastructure to its knees when it's people spread out across such a vast, wide area, but I think there are still ways that people can fight back against the system and refuse to comply with everything that's going on. And I just hope more countries will start to follow the French example. And we see that certainly unfolding in Europe right now. So it's going to be an interesting few months.
Mm-hmm. To say the least. So now let's move to cyberspacewar.com for a couple of stories that all really go together. Violating privacy with legal ease. And we'll take it first from the National Post out of Canada. Google this, the price of violating privacy. Google Incorporated violated Canadian privacy law by collecting personal information from unsecured wireless networks across the country for its Street View service, Canada's privacy commissioner said Tuesday. Quote, our investigation shows that Google did capture personal information and in some cases highly sensitive personal information such as emails, complete emails, said Jennifer Stoddart, Privacy Commissioner of Canada, in a statement. This incident was a serious violation of Canadians' privacy rights, she said. Noting that thousands of Canadians were likely affected, Stoddart said personal info collected by Google's iconic Street View cars included complete emails, email addresses, usernames and passwords, names and residential telephone numbers and addresses. Even more also included list of people suffering from certain medical conditions, complete with their full names and contact information. So Stoddart has given Google a deadline of February 1st to delete all offending Canadian data. And within this, of course, we do have the flashback to August and I believe back in May of this year on cyberspacewar.com covering this story, of course, where Google is basically driving around the world collecting up information through unsecured wireless networks, also including members of the United States Congress. So that's coming out of Canada, James. So now we'll jump to Bloomberg. For the EU may propose criminal sanctions and fines for data privacy cases. European Union regulators may propose expanded criminal penalties to enforce data protection rules that limit what companies and governments can do with personal information. People should also, of course, have the right to have their details deleted and to remove lists of friends, photos, medical records, according to a European Commission document obtained by Bloomberg. They, of course, then go on to reference the Google cases, the Facebook cases. They also mention the three Google officials in Italy who were actually convicted and sentenced to six-month terms, which, of course, were suspended. They were held responsible after a group of Turin school students filmed themselves bullying an autistic classmate and uploaded a clip to Google Video in 2006. The other part, before, James, we dissect all of this quickly, unrelated in a way, but still within the cyberspace war and with the push and pull, we're, of course, bracing for what is supposed to be this imminent drop of the WikiLeaks Iraq files. But we'll table that for another time. So, James, Canada and the EU fighting back against don't be evil Google. What do you think?
Well, I've got some good news and some bad news for you. Which do you want first?
Let's take the bad.
The bad news is that nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that they finally decided that it was quite illegal that Google Streetcar was driving around and taking your personal information. And something that, incidentally, if you or I tried to do, we would be arrested for it in a heartbeat, and there would be severe, you know, civil and criminal actions taken against us. But if it's a big multinational, multi-billion-dollar corporation, they'll get away with it, you know. And business will roll on. So they're going to have to delete the data that they illegally stole on people by February. Wow, that's quite a harsh punishment. And exactly how is the privacy commissioner going to confirm that they deleted that data anyway? Mm-hmm. So I think the EU is heading in the right direction. We obviously need to do something about these companies that are scooping up so much of our personal data. And probably the best thing that we can do about it is simply to boycott these companies in any way we can, because obviously they are the ones that are just taking our data because we're giving it to them. So here we are on YouTube, owned by Google, and reaching out to the masses of people out there telling you to stop using Google. So it's hypocrisy in one sense, but we do have to reach out to people. So maybe we should be moving off to a different system.
I was just about to say, I don't really have the time or the know-how to really get around trying to be an independent webmaster and podcaster, radio host, how to get away from Comcast and Google and these things. But again, we're going to have to work towards that. James, the other thing I quickly want to mention in reference to these, the bullies uploading videos. Again, you know, whether you're stealing Wi-Fi data or bullying kids, you try that and you'll get arrested in a heartbeat. somehow the world's most wanted terrorist can make videos and audio recordings and upload them all the time, and they just can't catch the guy. But again, we'll save that for another time. Our third and final story we're going to grab from CNN for a little bit of positive news. Pilot refuses full body scan and pat down. A pilot who refused to submit, that's the operative word there, a pilot who refused to submit to a full body scan or the alternative pat down going through airport security said the procedures violate his rights. Michael Roberts, pilot for ExpressJet Airlines, refused a full body scan last week at a TSA checkpoint at the Memphis International Airport in Memphis, Tennessee. Opting out of scanning is permitted, but those who opt out must receive an enhanced pat-down from a TSA employee. Roberts basically says that pat-down is misleading and goes on to detail how aggressive it really is. Roberts said TSA security measures are ineffective and cited concerns for his rights and privacy in refusing the procedures. Now, if we move down, and there will be links to flesh this story out from WMCTV.com, he's worked for ExpressJet for 4 years, and as it stands right now, I believe he's now on leave or is essentially unemployed. James, here's another pushback.
Yes, and the pushback is hardening, but I find this story a little bit sad because it just goes to show that the people who are refusing these scans are the exception rather than the rule, and there's a big deal being made over this, when really, how on earth could pilots and others who do this, as they say, 3 or 4 or 5 times a week, just submit to it, just go along with it? To me, it's mind-boggling, especially given the health risks of these machines, health risks.
That's really the thing that struck me, even as just we were talking about it, if you're going to do this 5 times a week, because, you know, the average person, what, I maybe fly once a year, but for pilots who are going to, 4 or 5, 6 times a week, it will destroy your DNA, at the very least, I suppose.
Yeah, so to me it's mind-boggling that anyone is submitting to this on a mass scale, but unfortunately people seem to be, so we have to take away from this story the fact that you can refuse these naked scanners and you can kick up a fuss about it, and if we don't do that, they will just become part of our lives, and we can't let that happen. So we have to resist. That's what it comes down to.
This CNN report also mentions that the scanners are in use in 58 airports, with more units being deployed, yada, yada, yada. Now, James, as long as we're still on the kind of positive tip, as we do like to end New World Next Week with something positive, a quick follow-up to a story that we hit all the way back in January, January 7th episode of New World Next Week, where Forbes called Monsanto Company of the Year. That writer has now taken it back and notes that Forbes was wrong on Monsanto, really wrong. And we thank GMWatch.org for that story. And again, that's now available on foodworldorder.com. James, the other interesting note there in that flashback to the January 7th episode of New World Next Week, where we go over Forbes calling Monsanto the company of the year, one of the other stories we go over were the updates on Flight 253. And that would be the underpants bomber story that relates to the excuse for shoving the naked body scanners down our throats. Yeah. It's all connected.
Yeah, it all comes back. Well, just on that GM Monsanto note, you should actually take a look at that article because he takes it back, but for all the wrong reasons.
So, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the thing. There's always some kind of dark lining to the silver clouds.
That's right. Well, on a positive and sad note, let's end it there. James Evan Pilato, thanks again for all your help.
All right, man. Thank you. Take care.